By nature, we are social creatures, and I think that that's what makes this social distancing so hard.
Welcome to the Christ United Quarantine Podcast, the show where we get advice, guidance, and inspiration to help us make it through one day at a time. I'm your host, Ashley Danner, digital content manager here at the church and a lifelong student, just trying to buy enough candles and art supplies to cope and make it through this whole ordeal. In today's conversation, I get to sit down digitally with licensed clinical social worker, Lori Kendig. She specializes in everything from self-care and coping skills to family conflict and emotional learning for kids, and is here today to drop some knowledge on the rest of us and maybe give us some inspiration that we can apply to our own personal practices. Lori, welcome. I'm so glad to have you with me here today.
Thanks for inviting me, Ashley. I'm happy to be here.
Oh, that's so awesome. So I always start the show with the same question. Mm-hmm. Since we're all kind of stuck in the same situation, what has been something that you've picked up or put down during this odd time of life? Any new fascinations or fun distractions or hobbies?
Well, I've never had much of a green thumb, and that's putting it mildly. I like kill every plant that I've ever had. But now that I'm working from home, I get to spend, more time outside during the day. And I've really gotten into kind of nature and enjoying our yard. And my husband's helped me start a garden. It's not very big, just some herbs and tomatoes and a couple squash plants. And I've planted some flowers in pots. And I'm kind of finding it's a very relaxing thing to do, to just play in the dirt a little bit. Spending time out in nature's kind of becoming my way to de-stress through this whole thing. So I'm hoping that the plants will live and that I will continue to do this in the future.
Oh, I love that. I actually adore plants. I have many, many plants.
Well, I promise if I get a big crop of squash and tomatoes, I will bring you some. Okay.
I would love that.
No promises, but I will try.
Well, sure. I believe in you. I really do. And the weather has been so gorgeous. It's a perfect time to start herbs and tomatoes. I mean,
it is.
It's been really mild and lots of good rain. So this is a perfect segue into something I was hoping that we'd get to talk about today. What are some things that you wish people knew right now from your perspective? As far as coping and managing, finding these things like gardening, but managing our inner selves as this outer world kind of goes haywire.
It really does feel like the world's gone haywire. I think that's a good term. In terms of coping, I've told this to other people and I'll say it again today. I think that connecting with others is really, really important right now. I read a survey over the weekend that said by far and away what people are missing the most is getting together with family and friends, seeing them in person and having that time together. And they had other things on the list, like eating in restaurants and shopping and sports, all those things. But definitely number one was connecting with others and seeing our friends and family in person. So, by nature, we are social creatures. And I think that that's what makes this social distancing so hard. We need that interaction. So whether it's your church family or meeting friends for dinner or your monthly book club get together. We need those connections as humans. And I just encourage everybody to use that as one of their coping skills, to be diligent and creative in getting your social time in. It's very important right now. Make that effort. And I know it'll look different than it normally does. It won't be in person. It's going to be virtual, but that's okay. Don't give up on that. It's really important. And then managing kind of your inner self, I think it's important to normalize what we're feeling right now and experiencing, to recognize, I think that we would expect to be worried and anxious facing an unknown threat like this coronavirus, and that we're not alone in that. Many others are also experiencing a lot of the same things we're feeling. And I think it helps us to remember that we're not alone in this.
Absolutely.
And so I'll just add a little bit, talking about the social connections and how important they are. It's also important that we have some time to ourselves each day. And I love that you mentioned your art and your candles. So I'm guessing that those are two things that help you to relax and kind of connect with your inner self.
Absolutely. And just kind of making space.
Right.
It's something that, I mean, I even do it at work. And it's been a really important part of my centering practice.
Exactly.
I do bullet journaling, and mm-hmm. I always love a good candle or a plant in my space. And so like usually at work, I'll sit down and I always know when my life is out of whack because I don't make enough time for myself to set up my journal page for mm-hmm. the day to keep track of what I want to do. And so I've been trying to do the same thing for being at home, you know, well, obviously easily working at home doing digital, but even just every other thing, little goals. But yeah, making space for myself. That's my thing.
Well, and I think I love what you're saying. I think that's great. It's exactly what you should be doing. And I think this is something that a lot of people kind of forget about. And all this, especially now with all this drama and everything that's going on, that yeah, mm-hmm. we need to have other people around us. And some of us have a lot of people around us under one roof right now. So we need to make sure we have some quiet time alone too, because we need that to kind of process our thoughts and what we're feeling right now. And once we can acknowledge those feelings, it's, you know, that we can tell ourselves it's okay to be scared, anxious, even angry, frustrated. We need to acknowledge those emotions, and that gets us processing them. And once we have that information, then we can use what we would call our toolbox of coping skills, mm-hmm. which are the things that we know help us to feel better. And this is going to look different for everyone. You have candles. I like to listen to music. There's no right way or one size fits all when it comes to coping skills.
Mm-hmm. So I know that we talked about this at work mm-hmm. one time. The other thing that I've found that helps me, especially with toxic yeah. thoughts and spiraling right. thoughts, I listen to the Harry Potter audiobooks.
Oh, yeah, you did tell me that. Yeah. Yeah. I bet there are other people that do that too.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, on Audible right now, the first one's free. Anybody can listen
That's
to
great.
It. That's great. So there's my little plug for Harry Potter.
There's your little plug for Harry Potter. So, yeah, reading, that's another one that I like, listening to music, prayer or meditation, mm-hmm. maybe a yoga practice, whatever works for you. And I encourage people to make sure that they have that as part of their schedule every day too, whether you do it first thing in the morning to kind of get your day off to a good start, or maybe at the end of the day to unwind. Really anytime. Mm-hmm. It's especially now when we're in these close quarters, and that lack of privacy can make for a whole lot of togetherness. And, you know, we need some time and some space for ourselves. And so mm-hmm. one of those practices that a lot of people do is mindfulness, meditation, yoga. And for those people that don't know, there are a lot of apps and websites out there that can guide you through those if you haven't done them before. Even learning relaxation techniques and deep breathing, they can help mm-hmm. you with sleep if you're having issues with sleep. Many of them are free. Some require a subscription, but they may offer a trial period so you can try it out. Two of the most popular ones out there, the first one is called Headspace.
Headspace.
So you know that Headspace mm-hmm. uses video lessons to explain why we do a certain practice like meditation or deep breathing, and why it works and why it's mm-hmm. useful and how it can reduce stress and anxiety. I think that app, that site is very good for beginners, because you do learn a lot from it as far as what you do and why you do it. Mm-hmm. They have meditation for specific stressors too, like an illness or grief over loss of a loved one or something like that. So you can get very specific about, you know, what you're dealing with, and they can help you through that. They also have Sleepcasts, which is storytelling to help you fall asleep. And I mean, who doesn't love a good bedtime story, right?
Of course not.
Would be great.
Yeah.
So that's one of the ones that is really popular, and I, you know, people could try that one out, I think, on a trial basis. They are doing some free things right now too, I think, for the month of April during this time. The other one that a lot of people use is called Calm. Calm is a more traditional, nature-centered kind of meditation app. They'll help you de-stress. They'll help you meditate, relax. And it's all to relaxing sounds and visuals. So you might see the ocean and hear the waves, or that, you know, a meadow and meadow sounds and things like that. So people should explore a little bit, find the one that's right for them. But definitely to practice that little bit of daily kindness every day. I think it's important.
I love that. My husband and I, this is coincidental. We have a noisy neighbor, but we also have, you know, a lot of stress and a lot of stuff that's attached to sleep during all mm-hmm. of this, just kind mm-hmm. of not being able to settle down. And we actually ordered a sound machine on Amazon right when all of this just went to seed.
Right.
And I have found that crazy calming. You know, usually I listen to Harry Potter yeah. or something like that. But for some reason, that has been, even when there is no noisiness to overcome, mm-hmm. at least for us, the sound we chose is a rhythmic train on a track.
Oh.
And I tell you what, that is the most calming train on a track.
Everybody has, you know, that's another one where it's not one size fits all. Everybody has a certain, you know, sound that is relaxing for them, whether it's, you know, the wind or a thunderstorm or something like that. And it's funny that we're talking about sleep, because I've heard a lot of people talking about having sleep issues, but also kind of strange mm-hmm. dreams right now.
And,
you know, knowing that that's normal too. There's nothing wrong, you know, with you if you're having kind of those strange dreams when you're sleeping. It's just that anxiety and those thoughts that you're processing everything that's going on right now.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot to take in right now. And I feel like it does. It spits out very weird.
It does.
Very weird.
I had some very weird dreams like the first week or two. I haven't had any lately, but yeah, definitely experienced that in the beginning.
Mm-hmm. It's between the news and everything else, you know, there's the normal everyday stress. And, you know, you kind of touched on this a little bit when you were talking about making space for yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, people living together in close proximity right now, I kind of wonder how people are handling their nuclear relationships while trying to also manage their internal relationships with themselves, you know, in close quarters like this. Is there anything specific you have to share about?
Well, I think that's a good point. I think it's a good question. And it really kind of goes back to the two things we talked about before, as far as, you know, you have mm-hmm. to balance that connection, you know, that you're having with your family and everything, and trying to make that a positive time if you can. And then also making sure that you have some time for yourself. I really think that mm-hmm. that helps us to get through a lot of this stress, is just having some of that quiet time to ourselves mm-hmm. and being intentional about both and scheduling them. And speaking of scheduling, this is another thing that a lot of people should be doing if they haven't done it already, is trying to maintain mm-hmm. a normal schedule every day, as close as you can get to what your routine was before this all started. Because we know that managing our time, feeling in control of our lives, helps us to feel less anxious. We feel like we have some control. So having mm-hmm. those routines that are normal for your family, getting up at the regular time, going to bed, meal times, as much as you can do it right now. Of course, we have to be flexible. You know, things aren't the same, but that helps us feel productive, and it helps children feel secure, because they like what's familiar. Mm-hmm. They like to know what's expected each day, and that makes them feel more comfortable and kind of lessens their anxiety. So those routines are all important for us right now.
Mm-hmm. And that's so easy to get out of whack. I mean, I know that my sleep schedule was out of whack almost immediately. When you don't have to plan for a morning drive, mm-hmm. even if you are working from home, you suddenly have this 20 minutes, 30 minutes of wiggle room that you didn't have before.
Right.
And it's so easy to sleep in or stay up later, right. or,
right.
you
but
know.
Those schedules, you know, having a routine is really going to be a benefit to everyone right now, if they can maintain something mm-hmm. similar to that. And regular sleep schedules are always important, whether, you know, even during normal times, we should try to be having, you know, a normal sleep schedule and meal mm-hmm. schedule. So,
yeah. Well, this is a perfect time to take a quick break.
Okay.
And share my fun fact with our audience for today. I thought this one was fun, and it took a surprising amount of time to dig this up. but, you know, lots of people have been filling up this extra time and trying to keep their mind off the news by streaming and binging just so much, you know, online TV. And so I was interested to know what the most watched stuff on streaming services is right now. Now, first of all, part of this fact is that apparently video streaming consumption by, you know, you and I have has gone up, maybe not you and I personally, but people in general, by 85% over the last
month. Wow. I would not have
85%.
guessed that. 85%. But it does make sense. Yes.
It's a lot of time. A lot of time. And the most watched shows, which also shocked me because I hadn't even heard of this first one until I saw this list, was on Netflix, Spencer Confidential has 1.25 billion views. Is insane. The next one I can understand more, The Office. I'm a big Office fan. On My Block is another one. Love is Blind, that show about marrying someone you've never met. I haven't watched that yet. It seems like a some counseling
people
is gonna
must
happen
really
there.
Be bored. That's all I can.
Yeah, for sure. Criminal Minds, Grey's Anatomy, and that new show on Prime Video, Hunters. Those are what everybody's watching right now, apparently.
Yeah, and it makes sense actually to see something like The Office on there and Grey's Anatomy, Criminal Minds, or some of the older shows, because that's kind of wanting to have those familiar things around us again. You know, that you know,
do a rewatch.
Still, yeah, I'm sure, you know, like The Office, we've, you know, probably watched it, I don't know how many times, but somehow when we go back to it, it makes us feel good. And it's, and it's that familiarity that when everything around us doesn't feel very familiar right now, that that kind of helps us feel a little bit more centered.
Absolutely. Yeah. And just revisiting those things that we know what the ending is. It's not going to surprise us too much. Unlike Tiger King, which a lot
of
people
I'm surprised that wasn't on the list, because that's the one that everybody is talking about.
I was too. And that one, I think that that's a practice in making you feel more sane. Just watching it makes you feel like, man, I've got it together. Yeah, I'm doing okay.
That's a whole lot of mental health case studies there.
No kidding. But it, I mean, it was an interesting watch, you know, not for kids,
no,
but man.
No, definitely not.
No. Oh gosh. Well, so I've heard that lots of people are, well, you know, and you see it all over social media, picking up new hobbies and buying out Hobby Lobby and starting new workouts and diets and, you know, new running, extreme running goals and all of these things that people are doing to kind of fill their time. What do you think about the balance between peace and filling time? I've read some really interesting blogs and articles about how Americans in this time of quarantine are finding this particularly difficult. Like, do you think that that's true, that it's kind of an American thing? And what do you think about that balance between peace and time?
Well, I think a lot of people went into this thinking, I'm going to have all this free time, and wouldn't it be great to do all these things, get them accomplished? I need to be doing all these things since I'm not going to work and I'm going to be home. I can remember driving home from that last day that I was in the office, you know, just like you said, I'm going to have my commute time now. I'm going to have so much more time. I'm going to make a list of all the things I want to do. And I just really need to push myself right now. And some of us do have that extra time. And I know a lot of people are, you know, taking up new hobbies and learning a second language, or, you know, reading that book that they never got to. But I also talk to a lot of people that are busier than they ever were. You know, when we talk about parents working from home now, while they're also watching their kids and helping their kids with their schoolwork, and we've got everything else, all our regular chores. So it's a lot to deal with. And I think that's probably true worldwide. You know, I remember reading stories a few weeks ago of families in Japan and you know, having their kids at home, and they're in, you know, one or two room apartments, and they're trying to dad and mom are trying to work, and they have their kids home doing their schoolwork. So I think it's kind of a worldwide thing, but it's okay. I think it's okay for us to have that balance and just have some chill time. You know, we don't need to put that pressure on ourselves. If we want to do something new, if we want to start a new hobby, new skills, great. But just listen to what your heart and your gut tell you that you need to do and go with that. Don't feel bad if you're not motivated to do it. That's fine too. We think we have to be busy all the time, but that's not really the healthiest way to be. And I think it's good to remember that even in those down times right now, we're still doing a lot of important work. It may not seem like that, but we are doing this work of getting through a very unprecedented, very difficult, and even stressful time in our lives. There's no playbook for it. No one's ever gone through this before. We're learning as we go. So I think giving yourself credit for getting through each day is really what we need to do.
Absolutely. I mean, doing what makes you feel alive, but not setting unreasonable.
Right, exactly. I think it's, I always think it's good to have some fun things to do, you know, and getting outside, you know, like we've talked about earlier, is definitely a big one. If you're into arts and crafts or art like you are, things like that can be a good way to de-stress, but not to push ourselves and feel like we have to do all these projects around the house and you know, take a course and do this and do that when maybe we're not feeling quite motivated enough to do that right now. That's okay. That's okay to feel that way.
I know that I personally have felt like doing a lot less, and not that I haven't thought about all the things I want to do, but I find myself, you know, wanting to be in these more contemplative spaces rather than, you know, when this all started, I was so sure that my closet was going to be pristine by the end of this. And it's so interesting because every time I think about accomplishing that, because I do, I live in a small apartment with my husband. It's like, in order to do a big project like that, and I mean, I even know families right now that are going through home renovations. I can't imagine, because starting one of those, I'm like, I would have to make the space chaos.
Right. Well, and like I said, I think it's important to remember that, you know, we're doing a lot right now, even though it may not seem like we are, and to give ourselves credit for that. It can be very tiring just thinking about all this. You know, sometimes our minds are working in the background and we don't realize it, but we're, you know, still dealing a little bit with that anxiousness that we have and that unknown of when is this going to end? When is my life going to get back to normal? Will it get back to normal? Will there ever be normal again? So I think that's always kind of rattling around in there, and, you know, maybe having, you know, some lack of motivation, you might see it that way, but it's just, I think you're working on a lot of different things at one time. And, you know, I think we need to give ourselves credit for all that we are doing.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I mean, it's the small victories, right?
It's a huge accomplishment to get through this period right now.
And this was another thing that my husband and I were talking about on our walk the other day is, you know, he and I both believe that most of life's pain is connected to unmet expectations. And he's also, you know, as you know, working on his counseling license.
Right, yeah.
And so we get to talk a lot about this fun stuff. And I wonder what is going to be like and what it is like for people. Because, you know, I hear a lot of people saying things like, when this is over, when it's through, and as we were walking and talking, we were kind of dealing with this reality of like, it's not going to be over. Like, there's the way this works, it's not necessarily going to end.
Right.
You know, I guess we will have medicine and all kinds of fun stuff that's going to come out, you know, closer to the end of this year. And that will feel very victorious. But it's very interesting. I wonder, how do you feel like we should be managing our expectations with life right now? Like, I feel like for me, that's something I'm going to have to process so that it's not shocking when, you know, people aren't wanting to gather in big groups still for a while. And, you know, someone told me this morning that they said something on the news about major concerts, like big groups of people are probably not going to recommence until fall of next year, which
that's a long way
just off. feels epically long.
Yeah. And I've even heard, you know, they have, you know, like you said, the news is on 24/7, and I do encourage people to not watch it 24/7, to not always be listening to these stories, particularly in the evening. Don't, you know, watch the news and then try to go to bed, because your mind will just be racing all night thinking about this.
Oh, yeah.
But talking about, you know, will life be normal again? Will it be as, you know, maybe our past lifestyle is not going to be the same. And that's hard to hear. And you know, I think it makes us sad in a way. I don't know that that will really happen. But like you said, I think, you know, it will look different. Different doesn't always have to be bad. It does. The uncertainty, I think, throws us off. And not being able to predict what it's going to be like throws us off. It's this disruption that maybe we didn't see coming, and maybe underestimated it at the beginning. And I almost feel like it gets a little bit harder as each week goes by to, you know, continue the self-distancing and staying at home. At least for me, it is. I have gotten the work schedule down at home, so that's been great. You know, I have my setup and I have my regular schedule and everything. But, you know, there's some things that you just start to miss more and more. So I think at the end of the day, you have to use what we call a strengths perspective right now. And that means recognizing that you've coped with stressful, tough times before in life. We all have, whether it's death of somebody close or a serious illness, maybe a job loss. And we've gotten through them. You've gotten through them. You've those same healthy coping strategies and strengths that you drew on before to get you through things in the past, to get us, any of us, through something in the past, they'll work in this situation too. Focusing on your strengths and abilities and how far you've come in life and everything that you've overcome along the way, I think helps during this uncertain time to remind ourselves that we have that strength. We can draw on that. And then I guess I think just knowing at the end of the day, you know, each day that passes, I think, brings us closer to a gradual return of life as we know it.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, it becomes more normal, but more near to what we previously understood as normal every single day.
Right.
People are working hard to make sure everything gets back.
They are. And I know a lot of people are trying to use some of this time. And I think it's good to maybe take some positives out of it. Like we talked about some new hobbies and things that we've started, you know, at the beginning of this podcast, but just, you know, maybe some family time habits that you're starting now, people starting to have game nights or working on puzzles together. And I think the hope is that we will see some things from this period as positives, and maybe we'll take those with us into the future.
I love it. Yeah. I mean, it you always got to look for the positives, right? And, you know, as Mr. Rogers says, you know, always look for the helpers.
That's right.
And as far as help goes, too, I was wondering if you are aware of any counseling resources that people might be able to take advantage of from home, should they feel like they want to talk to someone, even while they're social distancing.
Yeah, there is a Texas instituted a free counseling service. It's a number that you can call. And I'll make sure that I give that to you so you can put it on the website. And I encourage people to call. It's free counseling. And, you know, just if you're feeling like you need to talk to somebody, take advantage of that and get somebody to talk to.
Oh, that's awesome. Great. Yeah. And we will include wherever these podcasts are located, be it on our website or on our social media, all the links to everything we've talked about today, to the various apps and that phone number as well. And also to Lori's email. So I'll include that so that if you have any follow-up questions or anything for her, you can reach out, or she can direct you to a resource that'll work for you too.
I'm happy to reach out to anybody that wants to contact me.
That's awesome. Well, Lori, thank you so much for sharing some of your time with us during this time at home. I'm just so happy to get to share you with more people. I get to be with you at work, but share all your goodness with everybody out there. And I just hope that we get to visit again soon.
I hope so too. Thanks, Ashley. I had fun today. I appreciate the chance to visit.
I'm so glad. Well, I hope all of you out there remember to just take it one day at a time, lean on God when you can, and show yourself a little love and grace too. We love you. Talk to you soon.